Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for February 17, 2020. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article entitled Fill It Out. Census to Shape the Next 10 Years in Vermilion County and Other Areas by Jennifer Bailey. It's estimated that Vermilion County was undercounted by 40,000 people during the 2010 census. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, each person accounts for about $1,400 in state and federal dollars annually for their communities. That's about $560 million in potentially lost revenue for local programs and governments during the last 10 years. Illinoisans also can lose part of their political voice. Illinois is expected to lose at least one U.S. congressional seat following the 2020 census due to population declines. The 15th district, of which Vermilion County is part, could be eliminated. The Vermilion County Health Department is taking steps for the 2020 census to make sure all Vermilion County residents are counted. Next month, residents can expect to receive a first notice in the mail about the census. Starting March 12th, census invite letters will be coming in people's mailboxes. There are three ways this year one can complete the census: online for the first time, by telephone, or by paper copy. So many more people now have access to the internet. To also reach those hard-to-count populations to complete the census, the Vermilion County Health Department is a subrecipient of a regional census grant received by the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District received a large regional grant to perform outreach into hard-to-count communities, such as renters, rural households, minorities, limited English households, young and mobile residents, and those over age 85. And the Vermilion County Health Department is subcontracting with them to offer services in Vermilion County. The grant runs through June 30th and covers Champaign, Vermilion, Piatt, Douglas, Ford, and Iroquois counties. It is less about talking with residents door to door and more about raising awareness and answering questions with partnering organizations and at health fairs and public meetings, according to Vermilion County Health Department Public Health Administrator Doug Toole. Toole said some people will be new to the census process, such as his 22-year-old son, who was 12 during the last census and didn't have to fill it out. Renters who more frequently move, which Vermilion County has a high mobility rate, will be a focus locally. 10 years ago, there was a local complete count committee to push the important responsibility of people filling out the census. This year, Vermilion County has a local 2020 Census Outreach Coordinator. She is Susan Packett. Packett, who retired from the Health Department after working there 26 years, and most recently as Record System Manager and Privacy Officer, has returned just to focus on this census push. She already reached out to a number of local agencies, such as CRIS, CRIS, Healthy Aging Center, and the Housing Authority of the City of Danville, to make sure there is outreach to those persons who are considered hard to count. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. also said the city has been contacted by a regional census representative who will be assisting in this area. Packett said she's had regional meetings and training about the census. It is private, she said, about misconceptions and concerns by some about the census. The information can't be sold or shared. It's all private information, she said. Toole said the 9 questions also aren't too invasive. They ask how many people are living or staying in the house, apartment, or mobile home on April 1st, 2020, which is Census Day. Are there additional people staying in the house, such as relatives, foster children, or live-in babysitters? Is this house, apartment, or mobile home owned by you or someone in the household with a mortgage or loan or owned free and clear? rented or occupied without payment of rent, your telephone number, and information for each person living there, name, gender, age, and race. Babies born at midnight April 2nd and after are not counted. Toole added there is nothing about citizenship on the census. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, will not come knocking on some people's doors. Impacts. It's really their civic duty to do this, Packard said about people participating in the census. Funding affects schools, roads, transportation such as public buses, public safety including fire departments, hospitals, and public health. For example, Toole said the census numbers help local officials plan for Head Start and other school programs for the future. Cities receive per capita funding, including for motor fuel tax funds for roadway work. Danville and surrounding communities also could lose the Danville Area Transportation Study and the area's urbanized designation. If the designation is taken away, that would mean the loss of the DAT's Metropolitan Planning Organization for Regional Transportation Planning and possibly around $100,000 in federal surface transportation urban funding. Danville Area Transportation Study is one of 16 metropolitan planning organizations in Illinois. This area's urban designation is used for federal funding allocations, such as for buses, highways, and other community development block grant funding, in addition to DAT planning and salary funding. A minimum population of 50,000 people is required to retain an urbanized area designation. DATs survived after the 2010 census with 50,949 people in the urbanized area. The urbanized area includes Danville, Tilton, Catlin, Westville, and Georgetown. The Census Bureau includes additional non-configurous areas for urban areas in using a jump connection. Recent U.S. Census Bureau data has shown Danville's population, as with the state of Illinois and other areas, has continued to fall. The U.S. Census Bureau listed Danville as one of the five fastest decreasing metro areas. Danville's population has decreased from 33,027 in 2010 to 31,424 estimated in 2017. And more recently was estimated at about 30,898. Vermilion County's 2010 population was 81,625. It was estimated at 76,806 in 2018 by the U.S. Census Bureau. Our next article is entitled All Census Systems Ready. It's a staff report. A report from the U.S. Census Bureau on the 2020 Census. The 2020 census is important because responses help determine congressional representation for each state and guide how billions of dollars in public, private, and non-for-profit resources are distributed across the country for the next 10 years. Those funds are used for critical services like emergency response, fire departments, schools, healthcare, and transportation. The U.S. Census Bureau's goal is a complete and accurate count of every person living in this country as of April 1, 2020. To do that, we have to reach everyone. In many ways, the 2020 Census will be our nation's largest civic engagement effort ever. Counting everyone in a country as vast and diverse as ours is complex, so we will offer many options. For the first time, you can choose to respond to the census online, over the phone, or on paper through the mail. If you do not respond in one of those ways, we'll visit your residence to collect your information in person. We also undertake several operations designed for people living in special situations, such as villagers living in remote Alaska, people experiencing homelessness, communities recovering from natural disasters, and college dorm residents, and others living in group quarters. Our online response option is designed to make it easy for the public to securely respond to the 2020 census. The ability to respond online anywhere is a tremendous help to those doing outreach to encourage a complete and accurate count. We have worked hard to ensure our technology is safe, secure, and easy to use for everyone. To make sure our systems work for this extensive count, we took several steps. First, we extended the period in which people can self-respond. The online option to respond will open in mid-March and will remain open until we are done with our door-to-door follow-up operation in late summer. The same is true for our telephone response option. By not trying to capture a response from everyone in a single day or even a single month, we make sure everyone has a better user experience and the ability to complete the census on their own time. We also stagger the mailing of our invitations to respond throughout the country to keep the user experience as smooth as possible on both options. Next, we made the website and the census itself easy to access. Our secure response website is accessible on any device, desktop, laptop, or mobile, that currently functions on the web. There's no app you need to download just to respond. Our site is Americans with Disabilities Act compliant. You can take the census online in 13 different languages, and we have developed video and or print user guides in a total of 59 non-English languages, as well as American Sign Language, ASL, Braille, and large print English. Finally, we have built a network of experts across the private and public sectors to help us secure the site and the important data you provide. We have adopted and built upon best practices in security. Your census responses are fully encrypted when entered, when transmitted, and when stored. Moreover, very strong federal privacy law backs up that security. We also use the latest fraud detection method. To make sure we stop illegitimate responses, this ranges from simple things like making sure we block foreign IP addresses to more complex and sensitive methods to stop bots from filling out fake census responses. We have 24/7 security experts supported by industry and our federal partners who test our systems, continuously scan for security and cyber threats, and monitor for misinformation and disinformation being spread online. We also want to make sure we keep our site up and running if the unforeseen does happen. We developed and built two secure data collection systems. We designed them to be modular so that either system could fully substitute for the other. Both have been tested thoroughly for their capacity. We modeled how many people in America might access the online response site at any one time. Then we tested both systems to see if they could handle many multiples at that level. Both systems successfully handled the predicted levels and well above. Accordingly, we will make use of both. Redundancy allows us to have a backup system should there be any reason to swap one of these systems out. In addition to our two strong systems, we have the ability to quickly add capacity because we are cloud capable. In the case of major outages, we have designed redundancies for our data operations, and we have contingency plans in place that have been drilled over and over again. Redundancy and resilience are central to all our operations. The success of the 2020 census depends on your trust in its safety and your understanding of its importance. Your partition is vital, which means your trust in us is vital. The 2020 census is not just our mission, it is something that belongs to all of us. Our next article is entitled, Police Discuss Several January Incidents, Staff Report, Danville. The Danville Police Department announced Friday it plans to begin doing periodic press releases of cases that are of interest to the public. Many times we send out major incident press releases right away. but oftentimes there are several other incidents that the public may or may not have heard about, Commander Joshua Webb said in a press release. In the interest of transparency and to inform the public about some of these incidents, we would like to start doing these periodic press release updates. Please keep in mind that, as with all our press releases, we can only release a portion of the details. Although we want to inform the public about these incidents, we must first conduct our initial investigation, and we may only release information that will not jeopardize the integrity of the case or hinder the job of prosecution by the state's attorney's office. Webb said it should be noted that the majority of these incidents are not always a result of an emergency call for service, but instead the result of Danville police officers taking a proactive approach to fighting criminal activity in their city. Aggravated vehicular hijacking. On January 19, 2020, around 12:05 a.m., Danville police responded to the Circle K gas station in the 1200 block of North Bowman in reference to a vehicular hijacking that had just occurred. Upon arrival, officers spoke with a 17-year-old Danville teen who stated two male subjects armed with handguns had just taken his vehicle. Officers began investigating the incident and learned that the two suspects had just gotten out of a dark-colored vehicle shortly before approaching the victim. After stealing the victim's vehicle, the suspects drove away from the scene, and the dark-colored vehicle they arrived in also left the area. Officers were able to get a license plate of the dark-colored vehicle, and a short time later it was found occupied in the 1900 block of Deerwood. A traffic stop was conducted, and officers made contact with the occupants of the vehicle and continued their investigation into the vehicular hijacking incident. During this follow-up investigation, officers located two firearms inside the vehicle, and the following occupants were taken into custody: Marcus D. Jefferson, 19 years old, of Danville; Aaron D. Clark, 21, of Danville; Travion I. Prophet, 20, of Danville; and a 17-year-old male Danville teen were all charged with aggravated vehicular hijacking, armed robbery, aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, and possession of a stolen firearm. This case is pending in Vermilion County Court. Unlawful use of a weapon. On January 21, 2020, around 9:15 p.m., Danville police responded to the area of Jackson and Winter for a report of shots fired in the area. Upon arrival, officers spoke with witnesses who stated a silver-colored car was following a black-colored car, and as they passed by the area, several shots were fired from the vehicles. At the time of this report, officers were unable to locate the suspect vehicles. On January 22, 2020, around 1:11 a.m., a Danville police officer observed a black-colored vehicle in the area of Williams and Griffin, traveling without its lights on. A traffic stop was conducted, and the officer noticed there were several bullet holes located on the vehicle. The officer also noticed this vehicle matched the description of one of the vehicles involved in the shots fired call from January 21st. Contact was made with the driver, who was identified as 27-year-old Marvell Seaborn of Danville. The officer learned Seaborn had a suspended driver's license, and he was taken into custody. During search of the vehicle, the officer also located a handgun inside the vehicle. Seaborn was charged with armed habitual criminal and unlawful use of a weapon by a felon. This case is pending in Vermilion County Court. Aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. On January 22, 2020, around 9:50 p.m., a Danville police officer observed a vehicle stopped in the roadway in the 100 block of Kentucky. The officer observed the vehicle as it began moving and traveled southbound towards Utah. The officer observed a traffic violation of failure to signal prior to turning onto Utah. A traffic stop was conducted in the area of Kentucky and Utah, and contact was made with the occupants of the vehicle. During the stop, the officer noticed signs of cannabis use in the vehicle and asked the occupants to exit the vehicle. During a search of the vehicle, officers located two handguns and ammunition inside the vehicle. The driver of the vehicle was identified as 21-year-old Elisha J. Tyler of Urbana. Tyler was taken into custody and charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and no valid FOID card. This case is pending in Vermilion County Court. Aggravated UUW, reckless discharge of a firearm. On January 23, 2020, around 1:16 p.m., a Danville police officer observed a vehicle with an equipment violation in the area of Voorhees and Gilbert. The officer initiated a traffic stop to address the violation, and the driver of the vehicle refused to stop. The officer followed the vehicle to the area of the 1200 block of Grant, where the vehicle came to a stop. Contact was made with the driver, who indicated he had a gunshot wound to his leg. The driver was identified as a 61-year-old Danville man. The driver stated after he stopped his vehicle, he attempted to exit the vehicle and had his hand in his pocket, where he had a loaded handgun. The driver stated he accidentally shot himself in the leg while he was trying to get out of the vehicle. The driver was transported to an area hospital for treatment of his non-life-threatening wound. No shots were fired by Danville police during this incident. The driver was not taken into custody at the scene due to requiring further medical attention. The filing of formal charges by the Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office is still pending. All suspects are considered innocent until proven guilty in court. I will now turn to obituaries. The first one is for Brenda Fitzsimmons, who passed away February 1, 2020, after a brief stay at Lawnwood Hospital in Fort Pierce, Florida. At her request, no public services will be held. A private family gathering will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, if desired, please donate to jw.org. Franklin J. Foster, 77, of Danville, formerly of Gibson City, passed away at 8:30 a.m. February 12, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, February 22, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, with John Leonard officiating. Visitation will be Friday, February 21, 2020, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorial contributions may be made to OSF Sacred Heart Cancer Center, 812 North Logan Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Gerald William Burt II, 81, of Williamsport, Indiana, went to his heavenly home February 9, 2020, in West Lafayette at Cumberland Point. A celebration of life will be 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Tuesday, February 18th at Grady Funeral Home. Funeral services will be there in the chapel at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Wednesday, February 19th, with Pastor Dwayne Mycroft officiating. Interment will follow at Highland Cemetery. Memorials in his honor may be made to Lincoln Christian College or Seeger High School for scholarships. Doris May Lemaire, 92, of Danville, passed away Thursday, February 13, 2020, at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Memorials may be made to the Danville Symphony Orchestra, Danville Humane Society, or Central Christian Church. Karen Lynn Juris, 70, of Georgetown, passed away at 5:49 p.m. Tuesday, February 11, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. A memorial celebration of Karen's life will be 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, February 23rd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, Illinois, 61846. She will be laid to rest in Danville National Cemetery at a later time. Memorial donations may be given in her name to First Church of the Nazarene, Danville, or Olivet Youth Groups. William N. Watson, 68, passed away on February 6, 2020, at home of natural causes. Christina Fair, 18, of Georgetown, passed away at 10:17 a.m. Wednesday, February 12, 2020. A graveside service will be at 1 p.m. Tuesday, February 18th, at Elwood Cemetery, east of Georgetown. Memorial donations may be given to Georgetown Rainbow Girls, number 107, for Christina Fair. Vicki L. Haugen passed away just after 6 p.m. February 11th, 2020. Services will be private and by invitation only. It is requested that no flowers be sent and all donations be made to the OSF Cancer Center Foundation. Kay Ann Smith, 77, of Danville, passed away February 12, 2020, at Carl Clinic in Champaign, Illinois. Arrangements will be handled by Rortvedt Funeral Services and Cremation. Celebration of life will be at a later date. Joan Louise Crum Breslton, 91, of Chrisman, found eternal rest at 10:43 a.m. Thursday, February 13, 2020, at her home. A graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, February 22nd, at Franklin Cemetery, Chrisman. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Clara Louise Brady of Wichita, Kansas, formerly of Danville, passed peacefully at the age of 88 on Tuesday, February 11, 2020. Per her wishes, there will be no services. Memorials may be made at Kansas Humane Society, Wichita, Kansas, Friends of Felines, and the Vermilion County Humane Society, Danville, Illinois. Andy Van Meter, 57, died February 3, 2020 at MD Anderson, Houston, Texas. A memorial celebration will be at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 22nd at Williamsport Christian Church in Williamsport, with service time at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Reverend Don Williams and Minister Jesse Stoner officiating. Contributions may be made to the Warren County Community Foundation in lieu of flowers. Martha Rose Saltz Burleson, 79, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 3:57 a.m. Saturday, February 15, 2020. Visitation will be held at Grady Funeral Home in West Lebanon on Monday, February 17, 2020, from 11 a.m. until service time at 1 p.m., with Reverend Charles B. Anderson officiating. Interment will follow at West Lebanon Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Christine Chris Johnson Coleman, 61, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away Wednesday, February 12, 2020, at her home. A visitation service will be 1 to 3 p.m. Monday, February 17th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Chapel, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, Illinois, with a memorial service immediately following. Bruce Augie Lesko, 67, of Tombstone, Arizona, formerly of Westville, died unexpectedly Tuesday, February 11, 2020, in Tucson, Arizona. A memorial service will be held in Westville at a future date. A bit of community news. The Westville High football team will be recognized for its good sportsmanship at 1:30 p.m. February 23rd at St. Mary's Hall. The annual John Dixon Sportsmanship Award was presented to the Westville Tigers as a team and to quarterback senior Rafe Burke. Mayor Mike Weiss will read a proclamation, and Coach Guy Goodlove will speak on sportsmanship. This has been DE reading the Vermilion County News for February 17th. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.